Hello, welcome back to Learning English Through the Bible. June in the U.S. is a very busy month. There are many things happening in this month. For example, it is the beginning of summer vacation for the students in Texas and other southern states. People start going on vacations in camps. For basketball fans, it's the time of the NBA Finals and the start of the WNBA season. And also in this month, Americans celebrate a very special holiday called Father's Day. Father's Day occurs on the third Sunday of June. It is on June the 20th this year. Father's Day, like all other holidays, is heavily commercial. Businessmen take advantage of this occasion to promote their merchandise. Nevertheless, Father's Day is worth celebrating because our fathers have done a lot for us. They have raised us since we were newborn babies. With many years of dedication, they personally take care of us and satisfy our needs. Therefore, we should honor them in everything we do. Celebrating this holiday is one of the ways to show our respect and love for them. Do you know that the Bible is very direct about honoring our parents? Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Here we see that God cares very much about the child-parent relationship. He even promises to bless us if we honor our parents. But have you ever thought about what the English word father means? Father is such a basic word, you may say. Everyone knows it well. Yes, I agree. In the Bible, it is the translation of the Hebrew word Ab in the Old Testament and the Greek word pater in the New Testament. Ab and pater both are root words meaning generator or one who gives life to another generation. In this, father is a very appropriate term to describe the Creator God in relationship to man. The first book of the Bible, Genesis, tells us, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." The first man became a living being because God gave him life by breathing into his nostrils. The first man sinned and fell into the trap of death. Ever since then, all men fall short of the glory of God. All men are hopeless, helpless, in the trap of sin and death. But the great love of God, our Heavenly Father, does not fail. Let's read a passage from Ephesians chapter 2. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Indeed, God, the Heavenly Father, gives a new life, his own eternal life, to everyone who believes in Jesus. By his Holy Spirit, he plants the new life in the heart of each and every one of his sons and daughters. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. My dad, I mean, my father, taught me a Chinese phrase, 不孝子孙. I first thought the phrase meant a disobedient son, but it is literally a son unlike me. This phrase tells us something about a father's heart and desire for his children. It also tells us a way to honor our fathers. Sometimes my dad is very unhappy with me when I refuse to learn from him. If a human father, who is a sinner himself, is pleased seeing his son in likeness of himself, how much more would our Heavenly Father desire for his children to live out the new life he planted inside us? Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Yes, if imitating a human father pleases him, imitating the Lord Jesus should be the most fundamental way to honor our Heavenly Father. A father gives life to his children. A father provides for his children. And even more, so does our Heavenly Father. In Matthew and in Luke, Jesus said, "If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Yes, God, the Heavenly Father, provides for our daily needs, and much more than this. The Heavenly Father has prepared an eternal home for sons and daughters. Do you remember what we discussed last month? The glorious and magnificent New Jerusalem, whose architect and builder is the Lord God himself. And God, the glorious creator of the whole universe, is not ashamed of sinners like us if we look forward to what he prepared for us. A father gives life to his children. A father provides for his children. A father disciplines his children. And even more, so does our Heavenly Father. Out of his unfailing love, God works in all things for the good of his sons and daughters. At appropriate times, he allows difficulties and even sufferings in our lives to discipline us. May we endure his discipline because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. A father gives life to his children. A father provides for his children. A father disciplines his children. A father leads his children. And even more, so does our Heavenly Father. In John chapter 10, Jesus told us, "I tell you the truth. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Dear friend, are you a sheep of Jesus, who died on the cross to take away your sins, and who rose from the dead on the third day to give you a new life? Are you listening to his voice? Are you following him? I pray that you are, and that you receive all the blessings our Heavenly Father has prepared for us. And don't forget, Father's Day is on June the 20th. Do something to honor your human father too. Now it's time to say goodbye. Let me read for you a poem written by King David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless you, and may God be with you. Bye-bye.